Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
We smile just like we used to. Why don't you figure it more? Why has my sympathy now turned to malice? It doesn't matter anymore.
If rock bands are like love affairs, then Dean Wareham knows a thing or two about broken hearts. I'm John Schaefer, and coming up on Soundcheck today, we'll meet pianist and composer Mark Copeland. He'll play live in our studio and talk about jazz that's meant to sound like New York. But first, if you've ever read a Beatles biography or seen the movie This Is Spinal Tap, you know that being in a rock band ain't easy. Songwriter Dean Wareham experienced his share of highs and lows with two very influential groups. The slow, moody trio Galaxy 500 released three influential albums before imploding in 1990. Then Dean led this group, Luna, for the next decade, releasing seven guitar-based pop albums. Now Wareham has chronicled his life in music, warts and all, in a book called Black Postcards, a Rock and Roll Romance. Dean, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thanks.
So this had to be, you know, kind of painful stuff to write about, the breakups of a couple of bands and a marriage and stuff. Why commit all this to print?
Why do it? Well, I had been keeping notes for years while I was in these bands. When Luna broke up, I finally had time to sit down and tell this story. The personal stuff, as you say, the personal stuff was, I was probably was more difficult. I was pushed by my editor after handing him the first draft to come back and tell more of the personal stuff. And I think if there's the strength of the book, it's the extent to which I'm prepared to go into that.
Well, I mean, you know, the idea of a rock band like a love affair. I mean, first of all, Luna was both for you. And, you know, but that's what it does is it really makes the book kind of accessible to people who've never been in a rock band, you know, because there's a kind of an image running through the entire story that anybody can relate to.
Yeah, I guess I've read a number of rock bios, and I didn't feel like I had read one that accurately portrayed what it's like to be in a band and the stupidity or the little things that go, other than Spinal Tap, which actually in many ways is a very accurate look at what it's like to be in a band. Anyone who's been in a band will say that.
That was part of the genius of it. It rang so true.
Every little scene, the sandwiches to the record cover arriving with a slight mistake on it, they all play out again and again. But so I guess I didn't want it to just be a puff piece. I wanted to actually include some of the humiliating moments as well as some of the great ones.
So you're keeping notes throughout your whole kind of journey through these different bands.
Well, I had a lot of notes for Galaxy 500. Perhaps because I was unhappier. I'm not sure. Then not so much for the early years of Luna, but I generally had itineraries. And so, tour itineraries, so I could go back, and if I could remember the club name, I could remember something about it, and if something silly happened that evening, I could remember that too. And then I started writing, blogging a little bit in about 97, when we first had a website, writing up tour diaries, and it was hard work, and at a certain point I realized no one's actually paying me to do this, so I stopped. And also, there were all kinds of things. What was really going on in my personal life that was not fit for public consumption.
Well, in fact, you begin the book, and again, it's called Black Postcards, a Rock and Roll Romance, with this spotlight story told by Damon Krukowski, now of Damon and Naomi, the other two thirds of Galaxy 500. Very in which, you know, he casts you in a very unflattering light and basically puts the breakup of that band on their distrust of you. Kind of a provocative way for you to begin your book. Are you looking to kind of set the record straight, settle some scores? What's happening here?
Well, that was one proposed alternate title was for this would be it was Settled Scores, Friendly Advice, and a couple of other things. It's a narrative device, I think, to start with the end. And I guess part of my point is it's you start a band with your friends, and if it's all successful, if it is at all successful, then it becomes a business as well. And it's a challenge to remain friends. So I guess I kick the book off with the end of our friendship and then, you know, saying what an awful person I'd become. I'm not sure that I'd changed at all, but I think when you're in a band together and you spend so much time together that after a while you just see the annoying qualities in each other and you forget what you liked.
Sounds like any relationship.
It's true, it does. It's like any relationship, and some bands go into therapy. Maybe we could have used some band therapy.
Metallica, quite famously.
R.E.M.
Yeah. We're speaking with Dean Wareham. His bands included Galaxy 500 and then Luna. Now, you titled the book Black Postcards, which is a Luna song. Why that title?
Well, postcards, notes from the road, it seems to sort of convey, whereas, and I guess, you know, some of the subject material is dark, but...
Well, there's the line about throwing it all away.
Yes, Black Postcards, the song. If I had to do it all again, I wouldn't.
I'm not
sure that that's true. That's just something I said in a song.
because I wanted to go to the song, but you stopped me dead for a minute there with that. So you don't think...
Of course I would. I'd go back and do it all again.
All right. Dean Wareham is my guest. The book is called Black Postcards, and so is this song. The song is called Black Postcards from the band Luna, and we're speaking with Dean Wareham, the front man of the band and author of the brand new book, Black Postcards, a rock and roll romance, which has just been published. And Dean, you talk about, you know, you start a band with your friends and you spend a lot of time together, and it's tough to remain friends as success forces you into something more businesslike. How did Galaxy 500 get started? And when the three of you were just getting out of Harvard, what kind of, I mean, did you have some naive vision of what being in a band together would be like?
We didn't enter into it to become rock stars. I don't, back in the late 80s, those of us who were making indie rock, I don't think really did look that far in the future. It didn't even seem like a remote possibility.
Didn't seem like a career path.
No. On the other hand, you know, we did it. But, you know, I think at the beginning, the extent of our ambition would be to put out a 7-inch single or maybe an album and play somewhere on a Saturday night. And then, you know, the great thing about making music, at least back then, it may be more difficult now, is, you know, if you make a record and it's at all interesting, then I think people would notice. People would sit up and notice. And it doesn't mean that you're going to get rich off it or become huge. But if it's something completely different, which I think our first album was, then people hear it.
So how would you describe, you know, for folks who haven't heard Galaxy 500, and we can hear a little bit in a moment, but what were you guys going for with that kind of proto slowcore sound?
Right. Well, there was no such thing as slowcore, but I guess in Boston in 1987 and 88, everyone else was, there was sort of like a fusion of punk and metal. Something, I mean, you might call it grunge, but grunge had not actually been identified.
Right.
But I mean, I don't actually think that grunge came out of Seattle. I don't think it's, I mean, I think it was happening all over the country.
Well, and Kurt Cobain was clearly inspired by the Pixies, who were
right,
coming out
true.
Of Massachusetts.
Anyway, so what we were doing was kind of the opposite of that. We were just listening to our own records, listening to Jonathan Richman records, or the 13th Floor Elevators, or Joy Division. And, I don't really think we knew what we were doing. And that's it's interesting because I know like lots of really intelligent people or good musicians who start bands together and they don't necessarily come up with something that's interesting, and I think you have to be a bit sort of lucky or some kind of magic happens between you. And
well, let's hear a little bit from Dean Wareham's early band Galaxy 500. This is a 1989 song called Blue Thunder. Band is Galaxy 500 from their 1989 record On Fire and the song Blue Thunder. Dean Wareham is with us in the Soundcheck studio today. His new book is called Black Postcards, a Rock and Roll Romance, looking back at his years with Galaxy 500 and then with the band Luna, and now on to his Dean and Britta project. And Dean, the Galaxy 500, three friends out of Harvard. First of all, Harvard, you know, might not, that probably was not what all of your parents thought you guys were going to be getting into.
It's true. It's a lot of money down the drain.
But so you set out, your three friends, and as you said, you don't have this kind of grand vision of where it's all going to lead. It does end poorly with Damon and Naomi forming a kind of couple within the band. Did you feel kind of blocked out by that?
Well, yeah. If a band is supposed to be a democracy, then
is
this.
It?
Well, I don't know. This one, generally decisions were made democratically, but it was a democracy with three members of the, and two of them were a couple, so that was. I read Tocqueville at college. He might call that a tyranny of the majority. That's kind of what it. That wasn't anyone's fault, but I don't see how it could have been otherwise. That when it came to, we came to make decisions about what tracks to go on the album or all kinds of things. That I was outvoted, and that was annoying.
Well, and you also mentioned earlier that you start as a group of friends, and if you have any kind of success at all, it becomes a business, and then it's hard to stay friends. When Galaxy 500 fell apart and you started Luna, did you start that as a group of friends, or had you learned a lesson, and was that a business from day one?
Well, it was probably it was more of a business from day one, because I actually made demos and got signed and then put a band together. So it was more of a business from day one. Having said that, Justin, who I started the band with, was a friend of mine. Stanley, the drummer from the Feelies, he was not a friend of mine, just someone I had admired. So yeah, that started out a little differently. And also it wasn't a trio with a couple in it. So.
Although, as we'll discuss in a
yes.
moment, coupling eventually did happen with Luna as well. We're speaking with Dean Wareham, and we'll have more of our conversation with him in just a moment. And then coming up later, Mark Copeland. He's been a top drawer pianist for over 3 decades and has made more than 20 albums as a leader and has played with some of jazz's biggest heavyweights. And Mark will play live for us in our studio coming up later on Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and more now of our conversation with Dean Wareham, the New Zealand-born, New York-based singer, guitarist, and songwriter, founder of the bands Galaxy 500 and Luna, both of whom are discussed in some detail in Dean's brand new book, Black Postcards, A Rock and Roll Romance, falling in and out of love with bands, with people. I mean, this is, Dean, at the end of the day, a story about people.
Right.
Yourself, obviously, front and center. But there's a, in addition to the autobiographical tone, there's almost a, your therapist appears. You know, how much of this was actually therapy for you?
Oh, it was much like attending therapy, only I was there all alone for about a year and a half writing the book. Because sometimes you don't quite know what you think till either A, you're in the shrink's office and you have to talk, so you have to, something has to come out of your mouth, and you, or you're sitting down to write and you're like, well, here's what I think about this. When you write about the painful moments in your life, at least for me, then I would relive them. So it wasn't always pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was good for me.
Well, Dean is actually reading from his book tonight and performing with the Dean and Britta Band at Union Hall in Brooklyn, in Park Slope. That'll be at 7 o'clock tonight, and obviously he's here with us this afternoon. Okay, so Galaxy 500 goes up in flames, and out of the ashes arises this new band, Luna, a quartet that, as you said, did not have a couple in it, at least not to begin with.
No.
But then Britta Phillips joins the band, and you issue this kind of executive order. So this goes back to my question of whether a band really is a democracy or not.
Right.
No hanky-panky. Anyone gets involved with her, they're out of the band. You then promptly get involved with her. So, you know, how did that happen? Despite your best intentions.
Well, I'm still not sure. I might have been joking when I said that. But no, there was certainly an element of truth to it. When did that happen? It didn't take too long. You know, it was, there we were out there on the road, Brett and I, singing Bonnie and Clyde together every night, this sexy French song by Serge Gainsbourg about a doomed couple. And what can I say? I succumbed to temptation. Is it?
So maybe the two of you inhabited those characters a little.
That's a little too much.
Yes. Let's hear the song that Dean's talking about. Okay. This is Luna's version of the Serge Gainsbourg song Bonnie and Clyde.
Jesse James. Come on, avec vous, come on anymore. Ça vous a plu, vous en demandez encore. Eh bien, écoutez l'histoire de Bonnie and Clyde. Alors voilà, Clyde a une petite amie. Elle est belle et son prénom c'est Ardeur, il formule un ballot. Leur nom est Clyde Ballot. Bonnie and Clyde. Bonnie and Clyde.
Voir le Serge et Bonnie Clyde autrefois. C'était un gars royal en un petit droit.
Il faut croire. que c'est la société qui m'a définitivement abîmé.
From the album Luna Live, that is Dean Wareham and Britta Phillips and the rest of Luna, circa 2001 was this, Dean, that this recording?
2000, I think that recording is.
The song is Bonnie and Clyde, Serge Gainsbourg, and it was singing this song together night after night that had the two of them falling in love, and of course, Dean, the complication on your end being that you were married with a kid at the
That's
time.
That's true.
So there is a long string of short chapters towards the end of the book that recounts the breakup of the marriage. And then a moment where your ex-wife suggests that you and Britta and she and your child all go to lunch together. And it's like this one-sentence little ray of sunshine at the end of what has been a couple of pretty bleak chapters from your point of view. Do you take the optimistic view of these sorts of interpersonal, you know, it's almost unavoidable that this kind of strife happens in bands and in any kind of relationship. But is your long-term view now a kind of optimistic one?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think things have ended up well. You know, when you're in the thick of a divorce and the nastiness, you cannot imagine that possibly a year or two later that all of you can get along, could get along all right when there's so much anger. With the passage of time and also making an effort, and I think maybe my ex-wife and I worked harder on the divorce than we did on the marriage. Too late, but.
Mm. And so with the Dean and Britta band, I mean, you and Britta are still together. It's been a number of years now. You know, again, you have a situation where there's both a personal and a band relationship happening simultaneously. Have you learned anything from, I mean, third time around that enables that? Is third time the charm?
Well, it's great right now. And, I have a great musical connection with Britta, and that was apparent quite quickly. We work really well together. We don't argue about what kind of music we should be doing or this or that. She's a great musician. And it's an easier way, I think, for me to organize my life now. Once you hit 40, being in a band, a committee voting constantly on what you're going to be doing next month, it's more of a challenge. When you have a kid as well, so this is a more pleasant way to organize my life. And
we're speaking with Dean Wareham. His book is called Black Postcards: A Rock and Roll Romance. Let's hear some of the current band from last year's record, called Back Numbers, Dean and Britta, and the song You Turned My Head Around. Dean and Britta, You Turn My Head Around, from the 2007 album Back Numbers. We're speaking with Dean Wareham, who generally writes most of the music for his various bands, this one included. But Dean, this is a Lee Hazlewood song, the late great songwriter.
Yeah, I had picked up this 7-inch recording. Lee had written it for Anne Margaret. We decided to give that a try. And at that time, it was that 7-inch was the only place you could find it. Now it's been added to the Cowboy and the Lady album.
Right.
But
well, now that Lee Hazlewood has passed away, and of course many people will know his work with Nancy Sinatra and so many others. A lot of those older songs that were a bit more obscure coming to the fore again. The industry has been changing a lot. You have been through a lot since the late 80s, Galaxy 500, Luna in a very strange sort of way. The arc of that band paralleled the arc of the record industry.
Right.
Now, you know, 2008, three bands in and seeing what's happening in the music industry. What have you learned and what's the big message for the people who read your book that you want them to learn about life in a rock band?
Mm-hmm, about life in a... Well, the first thing you learn about the music business is that it changes very quickly. And you come into it at a certain point and you think you have a handle on it. You know, we've got the indie labels here and the major labels over there. And then 3 years later, the whole thing's been turned upside down. Or, you know, say Nirvana comes along, that changes the whole thing, and it's all alternative rock. And through the 90s, they're just selling more and more CDs every year. It's going up and up and up, and no one would predict that. Then around 2000, the whole thing would turn around and start heading the other direction. The industry would be looking not for Nirvana but for Britney Spears or something like that.
Right. And that the industry would not know how to respond to new technologies and things like that, or at least wouldn't figure that out for a number of years. Well, it may have taken a number of years, but you've clearly figured some stuff out. It's all recounted in the book, Black Postcards, A Rock and Roll Romance. We've been speaking with Dean Wareham. Dean, it's an entertaining read in addition to being an informative one. Thanks very much
for
being with us. And Dean will be performing and reading from his book tonight at 7 at Union Hall in the Park Slope neighborhood of Brooklyn. And still to come on our program today, we'll hear some music from jazz pianist Mark Copeland live in our studio. And then tomorrow on Soundcheck, singer-songwriters tackle love, war, and politics. Billy Bragg and Joseph Arthur share their new albums ripped straight from the headlines tomorrow on Soundcheck.
Yeah.